Pardon me, everyone. It's the operator. I just need to inform all participants that today's conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect your line at this time, and you may begin.
Thank you, Laurie. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the IRTCC Review Team meeting on Wednesday, 3rd of July, 2013. On the call today, we have Chris Chaplot, Mikey O'Connor, Bob Mountain, James Bladel, and Barbara Knight. We have apologies from Philip Corwin. And from staff, we have Mike Soupy, Katie Tubergen, Marika Conning, Barry Cobb, and myself, Julia Chauvelin. May I remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Great. Thank you, Julia. This is Mike Zupke for transcript purposes. I want to thank you all for joining, and I was hoping that we could just have sort of an organizational call here to get started, and I could share with you kind of what we were thinking about in terms of a project plan and get your feedback on that. I've got this sort of the proposed agenda here, and I hope that this is okay with everybody. You've had a chance to take a look at it. So we've already had our roll call and introductions. You've got me, and you've got Caitlin Tubergen, who is going to be taking over this project after the trimester ends. So after Durbin, she will be running the show, and I will be answering to Caitlin. So from what everybody says, they prefer her over me anyway, so I think you're in good hands. So anyway, that's sort of the formalities here. I just wanted to give you just a little bit of background and also an update on where we are with one of the recommendations. There were, I believe, four recommendations in total. One of them was to form an IRT, so there were three kind of substantive recommendations related to the IRTP Working Group C. And number three we've already begun working on because it seems pretty straightforward, and that was the recommendation that registries publish registrars' IANA IDs, also known as the GURID, in their WHOIS output. And so that's already underway, and I can just sort of give you the background now on that. We've got another policy that was in the implementation process called the WHOIS Information Status Policy, and this was about registries and registrars using EPP status codes in their WHOIS output instead of sort of, you know, made-up terminology, and then also requiring them, when they use these status codes, to link to a page run by ICANN that would define what the status code means. And so that was from IRTP Working Group B. And since we've got two recommendations from two different working groups that essentially...
Deze oproep is onderbroken. Probeert u het later eens opnieuw.
Okay. that wasn't me. I don't speak that. But anyway, so we had basically two policy recommendations that were going to require registries and or registrars to publish something new in WHOIS output. So we've combined the two. So we'll have the WHOIS Information Status Policy will just become the WHOIS Information Policy, and that will relate to the EPP status codes and also to the IANA IDs of registrars. So that's pretty well underway. We had a comment period on the WHOIS Information Policy that closed. We just need to post the summary of the comments. And I think we're generally ready to go. James Bladel has raised the issue on this list, and I know I've talked to him offline about this, about just the amount of stuff that's being implemented at one time. So we're sort of holding off on officially implementing that one until we kind of come up with a more comprehensive strategy on everything that's coming through the pipeline right now that's going to place new operational burdens on registrars and registries and potentially also create complication or confusion for registrants. So it's kind of in a holding pattern right now, and we can talk a little bit later about sort of how we should deal with that that question too. And, you know, I mentioned on our list that I think it's kind of a bigger issue than just we can decide, but I think we could probably come up with some ideas, in particular for this project, but also maybe more big picture that we can sort of go forward with. So anyway, that's where we are on recommendation three. And then just as a really terse background, I think you probably all know, recommendation one was about establishing some sorts of rules or a protocol or a system for when a registrant is changed and how registrars should handle that, what sort of security mechanisms should be in place, also how that should interact with inter-registrar transfers. And then the second recommendation was about what I'm calling the expiration of forms of authorization and also sort of the exceptions or the opt-in mechanisms that would allow those to auto-renew or and also then the exceptions to that which would prevent somebody from opting into the auto-renewal of the FOA in certain circumstances. So those two are the ones that we've got to deal with in this working group. And I've already got some questions about that I think, you know, we'll be able to work through in the future that will be helpful And I've got sort of a proposed timeline. So I think, unless there are any questions, are there any questions about the background so far? Looks like not. Oh, yes, James.
So thanks, Mike. Not really a question, just a comment. Thanks, and thanks for including on there the idea that, you know, we need to really take more of a holistic approach at all of these changes. And I think it's not really a question of you know, what do we do and what do we hold off. It's more of a question of sequencing. What order do they come in, and you know, and how can we minimize the confusion, so that from a registrant's perspective who doesn't follow all these policy changes, it doesn't feel like this whole industry is flying you know, flying away. And I just wanted to offer that for the change of registrant procedure, that I think some registrars have existing procedures that are internal only, that maybe could be, we could map those out and bring them back to this group for sort of a show and tell, to see if any of those are compatible with the policy recommendations and would be easily adopted.
Thanks, James. That makes good sense to me, and you know, maybe you'll have some to share, and maybe we can encourage people who are not necessarily part of this review team, if they've got, you know, other registrars, if they're willing to share what their processes are. I think, you know, I think the more information we've got, the better. Bob?
Thanks, Mike. This is Bob. Just a quick, I may have misheard, or I may be misremembering. Did you say that the registry ID, well, the registrar ID was IRTPB, or was that IRTPC?
That was B, and I forget whether it was number 8 or number 9. Those two both have had some implementation work for us. I believe that was recommendation number 8, but anyway, it was B, one of the two of those.
This is Marika. I don't think so. I think the registrar ID is C, because the remaining ones from B relate to who is status, updates, and the provision to unlock.
Sorry, that's what we're combining it with. It was recommendation 3 of this IRTP working group C. So thank you, Marika.
Okay, good. That's what I thought. I was a little confused when you said B, because I thought it was more recent. But I just wanted to confirm that. But we are, I guess to your point, we're rolling up certain other items from prior working groups into this group, which is implementation for C, but it will be other things that were outstanding from prior working groups. Is that correct?
Right, exactly. Or okay, maybe we're pushing this one back in time or forward in time for the other one. I'm not sure which it is.
Yeah, we're just going to get the flux capacitor working. Got it.
Yeah, exactly. all right, anybody else? So here's what I've done. Oh, yeah, Chris, go ahead.
Hi there, sorry, Chris Chaplow here. Just a quick question. I'm just wondering, is this concept of a work group for implementation, is this a new beast for ICANN, or have there been others following PDPs? I'm just curious to know whether this is a new thing. Thanks.
So it's a fairly new thing, but we did it before for the PEDNR policy. That was the post-expiration domain name recovery policy that came through the GNSO, and that eventually resulted in the ERRP, the Expired Registration Recovery Policy. Just cutting some letters out there, but that worked pretty well. I think you know, we've learned a little bit, and I'm trying to be a little bit more organized, because I think that one of the challenges in that go around was that people really weren't sure where we were in the process, and so that's why I've got this time a project plan to share with you that, you know, that I would like some feedback on, but also so that we can all kind of refer to it and see, are we still on schedule, are we slipping, or, you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, it is a pretty new thing, and so I think that as we kind of learn as we go through this, you know, kind of maybe jot down any notes you've got, if you want to send them to me or share them with the group, you know, or within the GNSO, I think there's always opportunity to try and tweak this to make it better.
Yeah, thanks. No, thanks for setting the context there, Chris. Yeah.
Mike, could I get in the queue? I'm sorry, I'm not on Adobe Connect.
Of course. Go ahead.
Thanks. No, maybe just to Chris's point as well, just to add, because this is basically the concept of implementation review teams is something that was added as part of the revised GNSO PDP, which was adopted a little while back. So that's why it's relatively new. And as Mike said, we're indeed experimenting to a certain extent with how these run, but it also closely links to the discussions we're currently having on policy and implementation and how that links. And one of the questions that working group is probably going to look at is, whether there should be more formal structures around how implementation is done, whether these kind of groups need to have more formal rules. So I think as well the experience that you're having here will benefit that discussion, and I'm hoping as well, at least from a staff perspective, we'll be able as well to share our views on how we believe this is working or not working or what could be done better or differently. So just to place it maybe in the bigger scale picture.
Thank you, Marika. You said that much better than I I was floundering there. So the next thing then is I would like to share my screen with you and show you, a look into our project planning software. And so I've got, of course, we have the ability to do this in Adobe Connect, but I don't know how well it will appear. So we have right now, on the screen there's a center box, just sort of square, that I'm going to try to put my screen in there, but unfortunately when I do it, I can't see what you're seeing. So if it's not real clear, I have another screen layout that would more or less take up the entire screen. So if you don't like this, somebody please speak up, and I'll try to move to a different layout so that it's a little bit bigger and a little bit clearer. And you might also have a full screen button on that window. I don't know. It seems to sort of come and go as it pleases for me. But let me just try this. Okay. So I'm sharing my browser screen. Are you able to see this fairly okay, or would you prefer if I made the screen bigger or the layout bigger? The drawback is if I make it bigger, then you can't see the chat window or the attendance list for people raising their hands.
Chris here, just to chip in. If I click the full screen button, it becomes clear for me. It isn't unless I click full screen. It's fine now. Thanks.
Okay. So hopefully nobody's raising their hand and I can't see it, but if there's no other objections, then I'll just go ahead and you can use the full screen button. So this is, we have this project planning software, which is also the I don't know what you call it, the company management dashboard called AtTask. So this replaces, your typical project planning software in this regard, like, Microsoft Project or whatever. So what I did was I tried to take our work that we're doing here and break it into the tasks. And essentially, I pulled out the questions, the things that I felt like were not clear to me or that were there's too much area for different interpretation, or it was clear that the GNSO working group was asking us to fill in the details. So I've identified those as little tasks on this list, and so you'll see those from basically 2 to number 9 are those, let me take that back. Starting from number 5 to 9, those are the questions that I've got for essentially for this working group or for this review team. And, we may find that, you may advise these things seem to be sort of out of the scope of what the review team should be doing. So these could also result in questions back to the GNSO, and whether it goes back to a working group or whether the GNSO council decides that part is sort of outside of my scope of knowledge. And, we're kind of in new territory here. So in any event, I kind of kill two birds with one stone here. I can sort of show you the schedule and show you the things that I think are kind of the open issues. And then, like I say, just feel free to speak up if you have comments, questions, or if there's things that I'm leaving out or things that I maybe shouldn't be including or whatever. So
Mike, this is Mikey. Yeah. Let me butt in. Is it safe to say that you can't see the queue in Adobe Connect, nor can you see the chat? You're sharing your full screen, and that's all you've got, right?
That's all I can see. So maybe, I don't know if Caitlin or if Julia, maybe if you'd like to just sort of monitor the queue and you can butt in here.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest, that or one of us could do it. We've all done that before. I mean, it may be easier if you become a participant rather than the leader of the call for this part of the conversation.
Yeah. That would be fine with me. So, I don't know, Julia, is that something you'd like to do for me? Whoops, I just lost my screen. Okay, maybe she's dropped off. Caitlin, how about you? Could you take that on? Hopefully you're on the phone. All right, moving down the list,
Hi,
it sounded like you had found, oh, wait.
Julia, sorry to interrupt. This is Julia. What do you wish me to do?
Would you mind just kind of monitoring the queue, because I can't see it, and just interrupt me if there are people who have got their hand up?
Sure. I'll do that for you.
Great. So having said that, does anybody have their hand up now before I go any farther?
Chris Chaplow has his hand up now. Chris Chaplow.
Okay. Go ahead,
Chris. Hey, if I can, yeah, just put my hand up before we get started. I heard that magic word, a task. So this is a screen from a task, is it?
Yes. So this is
yes.
a screen. This layer of visibility, I don't think will ever actually be on our public interface. This is more the staff level of project planning. So I think
right.
that what you would normally see when the dashboard is finally completed for public viewing is you'll see. What you see at the top is IRTP, Working Group C Policy Implementation. That's the name of the project, and you will see the percent complete and the condition and the status and that sort of thing. And don't be too alarmed by the condition that it's at risk. I have no idea how to change that, and I think it just sort of looked at all these things that say zero and decided it was going to call it at risk.
So at the moment, yes, Chris here. So at the moment, this is a task level, T-A-S-K level, which is lower
yes.
down than... So which program does this come under? Because program is the lowest level that we've seen from the budgeting point of view.
Right. So I think, here, let me just scroll up and tell you. So we've got the portfolio is ETLD services, and the program is registrar contract management.
So, Mike, this is Mikey. Your screen isn't being shared anymore. Is there any way that you could get that back up into Adobe?
Is it there?
No,
still gone?
Just gone.
Okay, let me try this here. I think what happened was when McKaylee entered the room, it flipped me off of Chrome and put me on back on Adobe.
McKaylee broke it. God, McKaylee,
yeah.
who's what? We haven't talked to McKaylee in ages. He's too busy.
All right, is it back up for you?
No, now you got it.
All right, excellent. Now, as long as McKaylee doesn't do anything.
No, he's on the phone. He's not going to do anything soon.
Welcome, McKaylee. It's just background. I'm just kind of going through the project plan here that I've drafted up for feedback for this group for the implementation of recommendations 1 and 2 from IRTP Working Group C. So does anybody else have their hand up right now, or should we go ahead?
You can go ahead.
Great. Thanks, Julia. So, you know, as I was saying, the points here, 5 through 8, are really what I saw is the questions that I felt like we really needed to spend some time trying to define what the policy meant or what was intended. So just kind of working through the list here, you know, the first thing that we had to do was convene this team. That's, of course, done. The next thing is creating a framework for this policy and sharing it with you. And so by that, what I was thinking was, you know, the recommendations say we think there should be kind of an overarching transfer policy. And so I started kind of trying to craft up what I think that should look like in terms of how the two policies might sit side by side or how there might be interplay. And so when that's in a more state of doneness, I'll share that with you. And so the deadline you can see here, the due date for these is on the second column from the right. And so that is basically due the day after the end of the Durban meeting. So I'll have some work to do on that 25-hour flight, I guess. then we've got after that, and this isn't really necessarily contingent on that, but I figured since really there's probably not a lot that's going to happen between now and the end of the Durban meeting by this group, it's just as well that we start on the 22nd of July. And this is defining the methods of authorizing transfers by both registrants. And so this is referring to recommendation 1. And you may recall that it talks about different ways, whether it's a PIN code or a passcode or an opcode, that this might happen. And so the idea was, you know, and I think this sort of relates to what James was saying, we need to sort of come up with what are the universe of possibilities and things in particular that are already being done and tested, I think, you know, maybe you kind of spend the most time thinking about. And then you know, defining, do we want to spell out what all of the available options are, or should we maybe put proscriptions and say these are things a registrar should not do, or do we want to say guidelines and say if you fit within these guidelines, then this is acceptable within the policy. And so, you know, that's sort of like the first question is how exactly do we want to attack this, and then, you know, let's say we want to define all the different possibilities of things that registrars could do and be in compliance, then we need to start coming up with that list. So you'll see in the duration column, I've given that 21 days, which is 21 working days. So basically that's a month for us to have discussions. And this sort of assumes, you know, that we've got maybe a weekly call and that we're having good discussion on lists. You know, and this is something I would really appreciate feedback on is, you know, are these times realistic or, you know, do you think I'm sort of overshooting or undershooting? So I don't know if there's any thoughts on that. So I saw Mikey popped up on my screen. You want to go ahead, Mikey?
This is Mikey. One of the project management tricks that you might want to think about is when you have a great big complicated hard to figure out task, you might want to break it into smaller chunks so you've got a little bit easier to understand stages. Some of these seem pretty big and complicated to me, and so I guess if I were in your shoes, I would be thinking about breaking them into smaller pieces.
You know, that's good advice, and if you got some suggestions of where to do that, I'm open to that. You know, one of the let's say, features of that task is that it has a habit of annoying you when you're either behind on a task or when you haven't logged in a while to check off that you've done it. So, you know, we're kind of learning as staff, I think, to be sort of judicious about how low level we want to get in our work. But, you know, I mean, I take that point, and I think, you know, maybe in some of these things it's kind of obvious to me because in my mind I know what's involved and maybe it's not really spelled out as clearly. So, for example, this line 4, you know, to me, I'm not just going to create this thing, but there's going to be a process of getting feedback from other people on staff before I share it with the review team. And really sharing with the review team is a whole second step. So, you know, I hear what you're saying.
Well, yeah, this is Mikey again. I think you've just got at least 3 chunks in there that might help. You know, one is create a draft, another is review with staff. You know, keep chunking it, incorporate staff comments, review with us, incorporate our comments, you know. And that's what I mean by chunking this into smaller pieces is it gives you a little bit easier series of steps to get through, and it may also make it easier to estimate because now you can say, well, how long do I think it's going to take me to write a first draft as opposed to how long is it going to take to, you know, get through to the staff, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, that's just sort of a basic project management trick that I pass along. It doesn't have to be real complicated.
Sure. Thanks. Bob?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. This is Bob. I think my gut reaction, total knee-jerk, you know, halfway through our first call, is that your time frames sound aggressive. And, you know, my experience with 2 previous working groups was that, you know, everything takes a longer than you think it should. So based on very preliminary, I think this looks aggressive to me. I think the, you know, depending on, and I think most of these working groups, you know, really depend on the volunteers to do, you know, a lot of the work, and the staff participation is, you know, kind of coordinating and communications and stuff. So if you know, Mike or your team have bandwidth to drive this, then I think, you know, maybe that's more realistic. If the dynamic is more or less the same where, you know, we're kind of looking at the group, staff and volunteers, to pick pieces up and run with it, it seems to me you might be being a little unrealistic on time frames. So that's just my 2 cents. You know, this, I haven't been on an implementation team before, just working groups, so I may be off, but just wanted to throw that out there.
Thanks, Bob. I mean, I think that's good feedback. You know, whether we're driving it or not, you know, you make a good point, and that's that, you know, we've got volunteers here who are being pulled in a million different directions. So, you know, I know this isn't, you know, this isn't your one priority, even if, you know, even if this was the only thing you were doing at ICANN, you've got all sorts of things outside of ICANN. So, you know, that's a point well taken. And so, you know, I think maybe, you know, maybe we kind of head down this path and evaluate and say, yeah, we were way off, and then we can readjust the thing. I don't think this has to be a commitment right now to the due date at the very final day. I think, we can still adjust this as we go, and maybe, you know, if we get to the first step and we say, wow, this took, 6 weeks instead of four, then we just, add 30% to everything else or 50% to everything else.
Yeah, this is Bob. If I could reply, I think that's true. I think one of the comments I meant to say was what the endpoint is and what the risk of failure in terms of hitting the endpoint is. If there's a low risk of failure, then it's okay to be a little aggressive. If we miss, it doesn't hurt. On the other hand, if you use the Mikey philosophy and we're trying to use the project plan and hit it, then I think that then maybe the alternate approach is to just be more realistic on the dates and mail. So. But I'm fine either way. It's just wanted to volunteer my opinion.
Okay. Well, thanks. So, I think just hearing you two talk now has got me kind of thinking I would like to start tweaking some of these days again. So, we can maybe consider this sort of like the 0.1 version, and then, maybe we can talk again at the next one where we kind of get more into substance. I can sort of give you an update on what this looks like and get more feedback on it then, just so we're all sort of marching along the same path.
So, Mike, this is Mikey again. Michele raises a good point in the chat, which is there sort of a list of things to be done? I think it would be useful to see the rest of this plan, and I think that when you do the next iteration of it, it would be nice to sort of call out the pieces of the plan and identify who's participating in which piece and in what way. Because, my presumption is that, there are a few checkpoints along the way where you come back to us. So, there's a review with staff step, and maybe there's a review with us step and stuff like that. And it would be nice to have the distinction between everything that needs to be done, which is your punch list, and then a way to highlight, here are the things that I need you to do. And part of the reason I think that's important gets to the point that Marika made, which is as we're doing this, we may want to pay attention to the role that we're assigning the review team to and also figure out a step in there that says something along the lines of identify any issues that require policy guidance. I'll kind of leave the language up to Marika on that, but there are several audiences for this document. You need a very detailed punch list. We need a punch list that says, where do you need us to show up and what are you expecting us to do?
Sure.
And there may be others.
Yeah, so there's this assignments column, and one of the let's say features of that task is that I can only assign to other staff people. I can't put parenthetically, I want to go to the IRT, and I tried that. I tried writing in things there, and it rejected it. So, I think we're on the same page with this, and maybe I just need to put it in the task and say so in my mind, numbers 5 through 8 or 5 through 9 are all basically in close consultation, basically collaboration with this IRT. And then we have, you'll see step 11 and 12 are review layers, and number 12 was going back to the IRT. This is sort of like the final, everybody gets to look at it and poke at it and say, what do we think before we post it for public comment? So I think that's a good suggestion that I can, try to at least maybe in the descriptions of these tasks try to make clearer. And, I think, another good point is, who the audience is for this, and ordinarily, this would be a staff-only document. There's nothing particularly confidential about this. It's not, it's not a problem sharing it with you. It's just that, it's a level of detail that we just haven't, we haven't decided yet that, this is going to be published or anything. So, and part of it is, for these things you're identifying, everybody kind of has a different way of interpreting what a project plan should look like and what level of detail should be. And I think, I think it's probably subject to potential misinterpretation if we, just put it out there and didn't, have lots of explanations around it and caveats. I hear you, and I'll work on that. Michele, did you have your hand up?
This is Mikey. I wrote, Michaela had a point in the chat, which I agree with, which is one of the steps that you may want to add to this. I bet Michaela's on another call, so as a result, he's just on Adobe. But he's suggesting that we might want to add an impact assessment step to some of these, and I would agree. You may want to, you know, in addition to writing the thing, checking with staff, checking with us, blah blah blah. You may want to have some sort of impact assessment layer to this, and you may want to come to us for the dimensions of the impact, but then figure out some process to go out, probably mostly to the registrars, but depends on the policy, and check with folks, because you know, we're in an implementation phase now. Unless there's more that's going to scroll up on the screen here.
So I can scroll down a little bit here and show you what else we've got.
Kaylee, I can't hear you. You may be muted. Are you coming in through Adobe or are you coming in on the phone? Kaylee's typing. Adobe. Well, that's weird. You may be suffering the problem that I did with my Mac, which was that in order to get it to work right, Michaela, I had to plug my headphone in first before I logged into Adobe. And nobody could hear me until I did that. So that may be the trouble. I can work with you on that offline if you want. Back to you, Mike.
Okay. So, you know, if you're able to break in, Michaela, by all means, if you just want to type in your question or your thought, that's fine too. So, I just scrolled down a little bit, you can see a little bit more, and you got the last section here is kind of the outreach and education part of it. And you know, as you were talking, Mikey, one of the things you said sort of reminded me of the last IRT that we had with Pedner. And, you know, one of the reasons why I think you're seeing an aggressive timeline here, and that wasn't your words, that was Bob's word, you know, and, you know, on the last one, I heard from Alan, you know, fairly regularly, you know, sort of a concern, like he felt there was no progress happening. And I know sometimes that's a matter of just us, you know, staff not communicating well what's going on. Sometimes it's a matter of there's just a bunch of competing priorities and, you know, Pedner couldn't always win. But, you know, this may have been my defensive approach saying, all right, here's a timeline that we're going to aim for. And, you know, if it's not realistic, that doesn't really help us. It only makes us really look worse if we don't achieve it. So, you know, it's giving me something to think about here in terms of, you know, the dates and you know, this impact assessment step. That makes good sense to me. So I think, you know, this could use some more refining and you know, this chunking that you talk about, this might be the way to do that. I'm getting lots of
yeah, Mike.
Yeah,
this is Mikey. I think the chunks help in a bunch of ways. One is that it does give you a much better visibility of how progress is going. But I think another thing is that what you're seeing in the chat is Mountain is asking for a PDF of this plan before the next meeting, and I would subscribe to that as well. And and McKay's on the phone, so I'll hand off to him in a second. But I think the other thing is that this series of tasks seems to miss the whole actual implementation part. You know, where is the actual turning of the knobs and dials by the affected parties, like the registrars? Is that out of scope of this? Is this...
So really where implementation officially ends is at line 14, where we say the language gets posted and announced to the registries and the registrars, and that's when the contractual obligation becomes effective, where they've got to have some reasonable notice period and they have to start taking action. Now, we really don't end there. That's why we've also got this outreach and education part where we say, okay, it's not enough that we told you to do it. We want to make sure you understand what it is we're asking of you and making sure that, you know, people who are maybe not primarily English speakers are understanding what it says. And so we don't want to just stop at that point. But that's really officially when implementation is kind of that's the moment of implementation is when we send the announcement out to the affected contracted parties.
Okay, Mike. Michaela, do you want to jump in? I've sort of unilaterally taken over the queue here because Zupke can't see the...
Okay, I'll
there you go.
Mutter a few words. And but the kind of things that concerns me, I suppose, is... I mean, first off, we need to get this implemented. I mean, I'm very conscious of the fact that there's policy coming out of the GNSO, and it's kind of getting lost somewhere. I know there's reasons for that. I'm not trying to blame anybody or anything in particular, but we need to make sure stuff gets done. But the thing from our perspective as registrars, it would be helpful for whatever happens, for it to be kind of broken out into simple bullet points in terms of what the actual material effect in terms of our operations are on any changes in policy. And this is, I would say this about any policy change, not this one specifically. So the comments I'm making are kind of general as opposed to specific. And the other thing as well is the impact assessment. It's just because if there's a change, say, for example, with transfer policy, it could have an impact, potentially, I'm not saying that it does, but let's say potentially it could have an impact on, say, UDRP policy, or it could have an impact on, I don't know, some registry policy or something else. It's just making sure that people are aware of that, because what's happened a few times over the last 12 to 18 months is that the policies have changed, and then when you're sitting in a meeting about something completely unrelated, somebody will spend 20 minutes postulating about something, and their information is out of date, and it's because people aren't aware of the fact that these things have moved. I'll shut up now. I'll hand over to Mikey again, I suppose.
Yeah, Mikey, the universal queue usurper. Mike, you want to come back on that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Michaela makes a good point, and you know, one example of that where it wasn't a failure, but where, you know, it's evident that there's interplay was in this one. One of the notes said we're aware that there is policy work going on. I believe it was referring to IRTP part or working group B. And it referred to it. It said, well, we understand that losing registrar will be required to send out these FOAs, and so this is how we recommend, you know, the treatment of those. So, you know, that's definitely a point to be thinking about, and, you know, sort of mapping out how this stuff all goes, I think, will be part of that. And I think that, to a certain extent, some of that might just be unavoidable. You can't educate the whole world about, you know, everything that's going on, but I think we can, you know, try to do a little bit better.
Okay, so, Mike, your cue is clear. You're on to whatever your next point is.
Thanks, Mikey. So, you know, maybe we don't need to spend so much time looking at the duration of these tasks, but maybe kind of look at just the ones that I've identified as things that I think that I would like us to work on. In terms of interpreting and drafting what the, you know, this new part of the transfer policy will look like. And so I mentioned the first one is defining the methods of authorizing transfers between registrants. The next one that I've got would be define the mechanisms for registrants to opt out of the 60-day post-transfer lock. And this is, referring to that the recommendation was that if there's a change of registrant, a change of registrar, am I saying this backwards? No. If there's a change of registrar, there should not be a change of registrant for 60 days. No, I said that wrong again. If there's a change of registrant, there shouldn't be a change of registrar. Sorry. So that the...
It's all down to slowing it down, Mike. It's slowing it down, Mike.
Sorry, what?
No, I'm just saying, if you actually look at what... if rather than getting our tongues twisted around... be what the actual recommendation is. If you actually look at what the reasoning behind the rationale behind it was, I mean, the idea is just to slow the entire thing down. That's where it came from.
Oh, gotcha. So I thought you were asking me to slow down, but right. So the idea was that basically the gaining registrar should know, you know, who the real registrant is, and, you know, if the domain name was hijacked, it doesn't know who the registrant should be, and so. So there's the idea that there should be a 60-day lock on certain transfers, and also that registrants should be able to opt out of that lock. And so this is something that is kind of, frankly, it's kind of perplexed me a little bit about how do you do it in a meaningful way. I think that if you say, yeah, you can, you know, transfer is blocked, but click here to undo it, that, you know, that really thwarts the purpose of it. So, you know, I'd like to spend some time thinking about what's a meaningful way for registrars to opt out of that won't just enable hijacking and basically thwart the purposes of the policy. So that's on my list.
Mike, this is Mikey. You may want to add a task somewhere early in each of these tasks where you get a briefing on what the working group was thinking, because we actually spent a fair amount of time thinking about that and drew cutesy pictures and argued about all that stuff.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that's a good point, but it's really, I'm not the one who needs to be educated so much as the policy needs to be informed, because I think that there's a lot that didn't get into the language, the recommendations, and so I just want to make sure that we're capturing that in what becomes the rule of the land, you know. And so, you know, I totally agree with what you're saying, but it's really not just for my benefit, but it's really for the benefit of the policy that comes out.
No, but I'm thinking that you need that briefing before you start writing your draft. I guess that's where
I agree. That's,
otherwise, you're going to write a draft that's going to miss by a mile.
So when I say here, define the mechanisms for registrants to opt out, that's not me doing it. That's this working group doing it, and I'll be sort of the scribe saying, okay, here's what you said. This is what we're going to put in the policy. This is what the IRT is telling me was meant here. So,
I think we're back to Mountain's question. Because, you know, before... When Mountain was asking the question about your dates and the aggressiveness, if in fact we're a working group and not a review working group, but we're actually doing the heavy, then multiply all these by 10. Because there's no way that we have the bandwidth or the facilities to actually develop that. I think we can brief you on what we came up with and give you good ideas, but you want us actually writing the processes and writing the policy? That's a whole different
policy. Yeah, so I don't need that. But I do need you telling me what it's supposed to be. So this briefing that you're talking about, that really is the step. That's what step 60 is.
Yeah, and that's what I'm proposing, like that into your work plan.
So that is what step 6 is. And, you know, what I'm trying to say is it's really – you know, it's not just that I need to understand it, but that we need to have a shared understanding that goes into the policy. And so that's when I say we define it. You know, it's not just like, okay, Mike gets it now, but, you know, we've defined it and we all agree to it. And so you tell me what you thought it meant. I'll write it down. And then if I get it wrong, you can give me some feedback on that. But, you know, I don't mean that I want you to tell me word for word what you want the policy to say, but I need you to say at least, you know, what it means.
Marika, are you still on the call or are you... away or driving?
I'm still here. I'm driving, but still here.
Oh, good. Well, we might want to take this offline so we don't tie everybody up, but I think we've got to figure out some sort of roles and responsibilities here as to how much of that you can do with Mike, how much we need to do with him as a backgrounder, blah, blah, blah. I mean,
just to maybe clarify, because we did spend quite some time, not only with Mike, but also others within ICANN staff, when the recommendations were adopted, going through them one by one and already having an opportunity there to, you know, ask clarifying questions for me, you know, explaining as well what the thinking was. But I think on some of that, it may just require some refreshing, or maybe some of the materials or briefings that I already provided were just not sufficient to actually come to the answer or have the information that is needed to actually write the policy. So I think we can definitely take offline and then talk to Mike and you to see what is needed as a next step. But some of that we definitely did at the early stage of this process.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And really,
so
these are the questions that are still open that we talked about, and I still have questions. But part of the challenges, and maybe this is my legal background getting in the way, but, you know, I look at the record here, and the record is the GNSO gave us these recommendations, and some of them I think are vague. Some of them I think are ambiguous, and I don't feel like staff can just come in and say, we unilaterally interpreted this, here it is, based on Marika's memory. I think, you know, it's this IRT's job to sort of help inform that so that I'm not saying the wrong thing or we're not writing the wrong thing. But, you know, maybe I'm making it sound like I'm asking for more work than I am. But, you know, I feel like some of these may have been punts. You know, the working group said, hey, you know, we have these kind of general ideas. We think it's too hard to get into the weeds here, so we're going to kick it to the IRT. And, in fact, there's some language in there that says that. So, you know, part of this is I think you got, you know, some language that leaves more work to be done, and I don't think it's for Marika or I to do. I think, you know, it's really, and it might even be this goes back to the policymaking body, and we say, all right, this is still not clear. We need, you know, policy recommendations on this point or whatever. So I'm not trying to offload the work on you, and I'm not trying to, you know, refuse the education, you know, and like Marika said, there's been this, but, you know, I think that it needs to be the community here filling in the gaps. It shouldn't be, you know, me or Marika trying to divine what how the gap should be filled. I feel like they were sort of deliberately left there.
Well, I think a more granular work plan with, you know, I think maybe a first step in the work plan is revisit the briefing that you already got from Marika. Then identify those questions that you feel uncomfortably are uncomfortably vague. Sharpen up a list of those questions. Forward that list to us. I mean, I think that we're perfectly willing as members of the working group to help clarify that. But the implication that
this is what you see here. These are my list of questions that weren't answered. So believe it. You know, work actually went into this. It wasn't just that I woke up one day and somebody said you have to implement this. You know, I've tried to immerse myself in it, and these are still the things that I feel like I don't know the answers to, and I can't answer, and I don't feel like it's my job to answer. That would be a you know, usurping the GNSO's role here. So, you know, I think we're talking about doing the same thing, but maybe you're sort of not liking the way that I've posited it here.
Ma'am, if I may, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead.
Rob, I think we're going round and round in circles here, and I don't think it's helpful for anybody. What Mike is saying makes a lot of sense to me, and I think what you've always asked for is that, you know, we in a working group with Marika's support, because Marika does all the heavy lifting, super duper Marika, you know, we come up with a policy, and then staff turn our recommendations into something that gets, you know, applied to contracts and written out in policy ease or whatever language it is. And it is important that it's not a question of staff unilaterally interpreting stuff, and it should be something that's done in collaboration with us. I think, you know, Mike, what might help, the fact there's a Mike, a Michele, and a Mikey is really confusing. I'm going to have to start calling you all John or something. It might be helpful if you break it out a little bit more in terms of the various little bits that need to be dealt with, and then maybe the bits that you're not 100% sure where they came from, what the idea behind was. It. I mean, I know there probably was a certain degree of, let's leave this to implementation, but I think the reason that was done and has been done in the past isn't because the working group was particularly lazy or anything. It was more a case of the working group would still be, you know, talking about it, rather than actually, nothing would ever come out the far end. It would still be in there, in the bowels of a working group. So, I mean, maybe just breaking some of this stuff out a bit more in terms of what needs to be clarified, what are the little bits within that, and just as a kind of from a purely operational standpoint, you know, the kind of bits that actually need to be done from the registrar side or whoever else, and that impact thing, I think would be very, very helpful. I'll shut up now. I'll back to you, Mikey. You can go off to dominating again. Off you go.
Well, you know, I think we're agreeing. I think the key is this work plan needs to be a little bit more granular. And, Mike, to the extent that you're doing stuff outside this work plan, in other words, I was assuming it was your whole work plan, but if, in fact, this is just a list of questions for us, and what you might want to do is write a work plan for yourself that's got us slotted in the places you need us. And then make this a list of questions. You know, this could be the list of policy clarification questions, for that matter. I think the next step is, why don't you take another run at the work plan? I don't think we're disagreeing that much, but I think this one needs a bit of touching up, and then we'll hit it again.
Okay, thanks.
I will also point out that we're 2 minutes from the top of the hour, so if there's anything else you really need from us, this is the time to get.
Right, thanks. I was just going to suggest that. You know, I put James's comment on the agenda, so I thought maybe, you know, James, if you want to at least just sort of introduce your thoughts here on this, and then, you know, we can sort of think about it now and continue discussion on the next call. Would that be all right?
Unfortunately, James had to drop off. He has a conflict, so he dropped off about midway through the call.
All right. Well, in that case, sorry.
You swapped James for me.
What's that?
Yeah.
You swapped James for me.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't intentional or coordinated.
Okay. Well, why don't we save that then for another day? We can wrap up here so people can actually get to their next calls on time. I got some good feedback from you all, and I think this gives me some direction. In the meantime, I do want us to keep working on the parts that are really, you know, staff work, you know, so like this coming up with our framework of what we think, you know, is going to be the holder of this policy, and we can continue working on that in the meantime. But, I'll work on trying to give something to you that'll be a little bit more helpful. And, you know, I also sort of want to say, you know, this, we don't normally share any of this, you know, I don't think, with the outside. And what I was trying to do was avoid a situation like I had where somebody was saying, you know, I think staff isn't doing anything, so I want you to see, you know, we've got some milestones here. I want there to be some expectations that we can, you know, sort of benchmark against. For me, you know, too much granularity is, you know, potentially extra effort in this. That's time I could be spending on something else. And, you know, I've got a team that's already 40% short right now due to medical illness. So it's, you know, there's only so much for me to go around. But, you know, I'll see if I can make this more useful to you and maybe kind of come up with a sort of a compromise that doesn't involve spending a ton of time on it. But, I think some of this, it sounds like from what you said, it's almost required to give you a little bit more detail. So I'm happy to do that. And I want to say thank you all for your time on this and for your feedback. And I think I won't send the PDF of this one, but maybe the next iteration as I, you know, put some more detail into it that might be more useful to send around. With that, unless anybody's got any closing thoughts, I'll just say thank you. Are there any here? I can get out of this now and look at the room. Okay, I see no hands up, so I'll just leave it at that. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Thank you.